been talking about cuts in public services and the particular examples of Dalriada Hospital, which has been will be making the headlines this morning around a protest at Stormont. We'll also be talking about, you know, if you'd be prepared to pay to help raise more money in terms of revenue raising options that would be available to the Assembly, and whether you would be prepared to do that if it meant easing the burden on, in terms of the cuts in some of those services. I did mention that Mark had called the programme, has been waiting patiently on what we've been talking about already. Mark, you're in Lisburn this morning. Good morning to you.
Morning, Joe.
What's your point this morning?
I think we're all looking, you know, Dalriada's chin close, okay? I have a relative that has MS, and it's a horrible disease, and, you know, that woman and her husband, but I don't think it's the Trust's fault, and I don't think it's Stormont's fault. I think it's Stormont's fault.
We lost a vital word there. It's whose fault?
Sorry. It's Northern Ireland's fault. It's our fault. We're a divided country. You know, you have two different cultures that fight, that cost money. Tweddell Avenue, the flags protests, both sides, Republicans, Loyalism, everything. You know, it costs money. We have a huge burden on our country, and it's ourselves. It's the fighting that we do, and even now when we live in peace, the flags protest, I would love Stormont to produce a paper that says, if we weren't divided, this is how much we'd spend on public services. If we are divided, as we are, this is how much we are spending on public services. Let's look at the bigger picture here.
So you have a degree of sympathy for our politicians like Fergal and John, who are on this morning?
I think it's terrible that they're fighting whenever they should be sitting looking at the bigger picture here. You've DUP and Sinn Féin that one minute get on brilliant. You know, those that are what you'd class as almost neutralists, people that just want to live and get on with it, like me, think it's brilliant whenever everything gets on. And then the fight over the stupidest things whenever the DUP talks because the Irish government's there, or else Sinn Féin won't do something because of something else. It's just all to grow up. The whole country needs to grow up and realise that you now, it's hitting us at grassroots level here. It's hitting the innocent people. All this fighting, all this whole, you have to give people that have a bonfire a certain amount of money if they don't colour. Like, this is the biggest waste of money. Am I right in saying there's still two leisure centres up in North Belfast, one in the Shankill, one in the Falls? What's the point of that? And distance from each other.
Okay, Mark, you made your point well. We'll go to Patrick in Derry this morning quickly. Morning, Patrick.
Good morning, Eugene Toole.
Go on ahead, Patrick.
Over the weekend, you see, I know Northern Ireland gets more per capita than either Scotland or Wales, but there's a success story in Scotland and planning bigger things rather than cuts, planning greater things. And I heard Wales, and they can handle their budgets as well. So why doesn't somebody just look at Sinn Féin and the DUP? They've mishandled Stormont. They've made a mess of it. And this morning they tried to blame the Trust for the problems. Come on, let's call a spade a spade. They are useless.
I'm not sure people in Scotland and Wales would say that they are immune to feeding the pinch as well, but you made your point this morning, Patrick. In terms of the possibility of revenue-raising powers, you know, we've heard about Dalriada and Bangor hospitals and that they have become victims to the cuts. There could be more on the way, further impact on vital public services. Here's a question this morning. Would you, listening to the programme this morning, be prepared to pay, say, for instance, water charges, higher rates bills, if it meant shorter hospital waiting times, a reduction in possible closures of hospital beds, more police officers on patrol? Is that a price that you would be prepared to pay? 0845955678. Other suggestions, maybe bringing back prescription charges, hiking student tuition fees, increasing rents charged by the housing executive and housing associations, all possible ways of raising revenue locally. What would you feel about that? 0845955678. Professor Paddy Hilliard is joining us this morning. He chaired an independent review in 2007, and it recommended putting water charges on household rates. Fergal McKinney and John O'Dowd are still with us. So, Professor Hilliard, is this something that you feel the time is right now? I mean, is it something that would be still applicable? Is it something you would still recommend, do you feel?
Well, it, it's a very difficult one because we don't have a good means to protect the poor if we did have if we did introduce water charges. I mean, I think the main issue we need to look at here is how can we raise money from the better off in our society? Because what has been happening in terms of the welfare cuts and also the tax concessions is that the better off have gained. And to some extent, the executive have helped this. The abolition of prescription charges, for example, led to a direct transfer to the better off. Similarly, the capping of rates at the top end helped the better off. So the issue is how can we raise more money from the better off? Now, water charges is one way we could do that, provided we protected the poor. I mean, at the moment...
How do you do that?
Well, you'd have to have a very generous allowance system, so those people at the bottom end are protected. I mean, but the current system is crazy. I mean, we're having to pay some 270-odd million to Northern Ireland Water every year. At the same time, because of the status of Northern Ireland Water, we're having to pay for depreciation costs against the departmental budget. So I'm estimating the actual cost to Northern Ireland householders is anything between £700 to £1,000 a year. Now, that's crazy, because that has to then come out of the health budget. It then has to come out of the education budget, because no allowance is made in our Barnett formula for water charges. So we're having to pay anyway, but the current system is very, very inefficient in terms of the way it's being compiled.
John O'Dowd, I'm looking at a Storm and Talks document here in front of me that says that the main political parties are looking at this and that their main potential for the executive to raise revenues would be from either increases to rates or from introducing water charges. Now, we know Sinn Féin's opposition to this in the South. I mean, do you see any time at all, any set of circumstances where Sinn Féin would support any kind of move to introduce water charges in Northern Ireland?
Well, I assume the document you're looking at is one produced by the British government and given to the parties at the talk. It's hardly surprising that given the economic strategy and political philosophy of the British government, that they talk about imposing taxes upon those least able to pay them. So we're not in favour of introducing water charges or raising taxes at this time. But because there's a question that has yet to be answered. And the question is this. How much taxes are raised in this society? How are they being reinvested in this society? And what benefits are they bringing to this society? And we have asked for the books to be opened, for an open, transparent discussion with the Treasury and with the British government about how much taxes are raised here, how they're reinvested, and how they're benefiting our society. And that discussion needs to take place before we go back to this. Well, how do we impose further taxes on those who are least able to pay? Because we're yet to be convinced that the tax base that we use here and the taxes that are raised here are being reinvested in our society and are being used to the best advantage of our society. So the document you refer to is a British government document, and that's all it is. It has no authority. It has not got the agreement of the local political party.
But it's being discussed. But the point is that there could come a time then whenever Sinn Féin would say water charges might be a good idea.
There will not come a time when Sinn Féin say that. We're involved in detailed discussions with the British government around the block grant. The amount of money which is sent here by the British government for the executive to spend, which is decreasing year on year, which was $10 billion in 2009-10, and it's $10 billion in 2014-15, and there's actually a slight decrease in it next year. So we're dealing with a decrease in our public spending amount year on year. That's what we're involved with the British government discussions about. We are emphasising them, the need to invest in our society here, the need to build a stable society to allow peace to prosper, and to allow us to start creating a new dynamic in our society instead of what we're currently doing, managing budgets which are making it virtually impossible to deliver effective public services.
Yes, but would there be any circumstances at all when you would look at it and feel that water charges could be a good way of raising revenue locally?
No, and I've already set out the reasons for that.
At all?
We're dealing with a discussion with out there all the information in front of us. And I refer to the Scottish referendum, and regardless of your opinion on Scottish independence or not, and obviously as someone who's a Republican, I support independence for Ireland. But what happened during the Scottish debate was this. There was an economic debate with all the facts and figures on the table. We are not having an economic debate here currently with all the facts and figures on the table. And what we've called for and will continue to call for is the British government to open the books and the Treasury to open the books.
So Fergal McKinney, John O'Dowd's very clear there in terms of water charges. Where's the SDLP position in this? Totally opposed in all circumstances?
Yeah, we're opposed to water charges, and we already pay for water charges in our rates bills. Many people feel the pain of paying those rates bills. And we don't need to add to that.
But the professor says is an inefficient system.
Let me just, because I think it's important to get this point, because I'm talking about the actual line that you're taking. There is a tendency in life for people, when confronted with a problem, to jump to solutions. And in this case, you're jumping to money raising against the backdrop of what I'm talking about, which is wastage of money and inefficient use of money. So let's agree what the problem is first.
But I'm also agreeing with you. The current system, we're already paying for water through the block grant. That, as far as I can see, has mainly impacted on the poorest sections of the community, because we've had to save somewhere around anything between 500 and 700 million out of the block grant, which then comes off the poorest sections of the community. That's the sort of debate that we must have. We need much greater transparency in terms of where does the money come from, this huge amount of money, to cover water costs? And we've seen over the last five years these various cuts to special need teachers and all the rest. And so we just can't put our head in the sand and say, you know, no water charges, because at the moment we're having to pay for it.
So can I just put this simply before I go back to Fergal and John O'Dowd? Are you saying, Professor, that by not introducing water charges, that is actually hurting the poorest in society?
Well, the reality is that we're having to pay for water, right, and sewage. So that money comes straight out of the budget. There's no allowance in that budget for water and sewage. So it has to therefore come off the hospital bills or the education bills, and so or elsewhere. And what one has seen over the last 5 years, that money being taken off some of the poorest and the weakest sections of our community. So they've already been hit as a result of not paying for water charges. So what I'm arguing is we've got to look at ways we can ask the better off to pay for more things. I mean, if you look at some of the elements of the budget last year, for example, 10 barristers received over $400 million from the Legal Aid Fund, and one barrister received over a million. We are spending a lot of money on already the better off, and we've got to ask fundamental questions about how that budget is distributed.
How much? You don't have any idea roughly how much the bill would be for the better off if that was to happen?
Well, it would be quite a significant hike, but the middle classes in Northern Ireland are much, much better off than the middle class across the water. They don't have to pay prescription charges. They don't pay water charges. They pay far less in terms of their housing costs and so on. And so the debate has to be, it seems to me.
Are we talking tens of millions?
I would say that a middle-class family in Belfast compared with a middle-class family in Bristol was anything between £7,000 or £8,000 better off. I mean, it's a lot of money. These are the debates we need to have, not in terms of the differentials between the two communities, but between those who are poor and those who are better off. In this society, over 100,000 children every year are being brought up in poverty, and that figure is going to increase to 130,000. And certainly the impact that we've seen of the tax and benefit cuts have mainly affected the poorest sections of our community, the large families, children and the middle-aged have all done very well in terms of these tax changes and the benefit changes.
But your argument in terms of the water charges, when you take whatever the tens of millions it is that you're saying, you know, we're already paying for our water, if that was to be divided out and you're imposing that on those middle-class families that you feel are better off? What are we talking annually? Have you a ballpark figure?
I haven't actually worked out, because it's very hard to say, you know, how that would work out. But these are the sort of debates we have. I wouldn't recommend at the current time the introduction of water charges, but what we've got is to look at the budget, and it's no good just simply having a budget and saying we're going to have a 5% cut in this particular department, 10% cut there. We need to poverty-proof every single cut to see what impact it's going to have currently and in the future. And until we actually have more information about where all our money goes, it's very, very hard to have that sensible debate.
What do you make of that, John O'Dowd?
Well, I think the debate, and where I agree with Paddy is on this, we need to have a debate about our budget. And I think when you pull individual elements out of the budget and have a detailed debate about them, then you lose the focus elsewhere. Because when you make a decision on anything, every action has a reaction. So what we have been doing over this last period of time is involving ourselves in discussions with the British government about the amount of budget we have to spend. And that's where the significant problems are falling down upon us. In relation to ensuring that we use our budget to alleviate poverty, we are doing that. I know our departments in terms of Sinn Féin are doing that. I made a significant intervention this time last year in relation to how we fund our schools. And I directed more towards those schools which are dealing with higher levels of social deprivation.
What about the point that the current way in which we're paying for water actually makes the working class worse off?
Well, see, and this is how you go back to in terms of how you deal with universal benefits and et cetera, because Paddy's proposal is that you charge the middle class and upper class. Well, the first decision you have to make then is if who's middle class, and then you have a lengthy debate about that, and then you have to ensure that those who are most in need ensure that they are not being charged, or they get a return on whatever charges are being made, and that has been proven to be potty in the past and less than successful in ensuring that those who are entitled to benefits are not getting benefits. So it's not a panacea to this problem. We are saying that there should be no water charges, that what we should have is a debate with the British government, a united debate by all the executive parties, and I think we are being successful with this, about how much money is delegated here for the executive to spend. And then, yes, there needs to be a debate about where that money is most needed and required and where it has the most positive impact on our society.
Fergal, what did you make of what the Professor had to say?
No, I think I really appreciate the strategic direction that Professor Hillier is coming from. But once again, I think we've got to agree with the problem. And what I said earlier on, there was a real opportunity in some of the early discussions with the British government, with the parties, if they had it done, and they didn't take this opportunity, and the DUP and Sinn Féin did not take this opportunity when they had it, that they could have said to the British government, look, once and for all, we're going to make Northern Ireland fit for its own future. And we're going to deal with those long-term issues of deprivation. And we're going to deal with those long-term issues of unemployment, because it's those issues.
But you can't do that unless you have a debate about distribution of the current budget. And that is
But what's happening now is we're getting trusts unilaterally and slavishly trying to deal with their own bottom lines. And that's affecting service. And there's no debate in there. Now, we will have a debate this afternoon, and I'm calling on the Minister to stop those cuts today.
But when you see one legal officer in Northern Ireland having their pension pot increased by £470,000 last year, can we justify that? Can we actually justify 600-odd consultants receiving £57 million in clinical excellence awards up to 2010-11 when that was actually stopped? Those are the sorts of distribution issues which we must take seriously if we're going to create a fairer society in Northern Ireland.
And I agree entirely with that, because while we're dealing with an argument now about the money we don't have, we aren't dealing with the money that we do have.
Absolutely. And a lot of that money goes to public welfare for the better off.
Well, and there are far too many inequalities here, and they need to be addressed. But where is the debate that's dealing with that?
Well, exactly. And that's why I think we need much more transparency with the budget, so we know exactly how the $10 billion, it's a huge amount of money. Who gets it?
How can the DUP, and I noticed they're not on today, but how can the DUP stand over any of that?
How can they
stand over any of it? They've voted for this budget along with Sinn Féin, and in a very practical way, and I know that we're going from strategic down to street protest here, but people can signal today that they're not happy, that they're very unhappy with the decisions that the health minister is hiding behind. Because remember, he's hiding behind the trust when they're making these decisions.
We did ask the DUP if they did want to come on the programme this morning. And Professor, maybe you'd be happy to stay with us if you can. A number of callers maybe on some of these topics you might be able to help us with. Thanks to John O'Dowd. Fergal McKinney, just before you go, obviously the electorate will have a big say in this when it comes to the Assembly election in 2016. Interesting to read in the Belfast Telegraph this morning that at your party conference, a survey of party members, when asked the question if Alistair MacDonald should be the leader of the party into that election, 32% of them said no, almost a third of the party, and another third of those surveyed said that they had no opinion. Only 36% thought it was a good idea to have the current leader take you into that election.
Well, listen, in fairness, I've been on the phone with you since first thing this morning, so I haven't seen that. You're bringing that just new to me.
Mm.
I was actually surveyed as well. And
how did you answer the question?
Well, I said, listen, he should lead us into the election. I think he's doing a good job. And particularly, and you would have seen from the weekend, the amount of new young people that are joining the SDLP and turned up at that conference. It was fantastic.
Does it concern you that only 36% of people at your own party conference who are asked that question feel that it's a good idea that he should be the leader of the party into that election?
Well, look, I haven't seen it. I don't know the scientific nature of it. I don't know who answered how many people. And I'm not, I'll be honest with you, I know the people that do these things, and I respect their professionalism, and I wouldn't for a second in any way undermine that. But in me not being able to see it, I haven't seen it. I don't know the details. And,
that's fair enough.
These things make headlines, and I think it's not entirely fair that I comment particularly on that when I haven't seen it. But, look, the leader got great support. But he got it in this way. All of those young people turning up for 2 days of debate around these very issues that we're discussing here today and saying that we want to finally get rid of the inequalities in our system.
Yep.
We need proper debate about how we radically make things different for people here. 7 years after the institutions came up again, we still have horrendous and gross inequalities here.
Okay, well, listen...
And we need to address them. And there is an opportunity, a real opportunity. And the minister should take it today that these cuts will stop, and that the two big parties will say to the British government, consistent with what the SDLP is saying, that we're going to address these fundamental issues of long-term unemployment. Remember, if you put jobs, proper jobs, into a West Belfast or a North Belfast, a Derry and Strabane, people will be fitter. People will eat better. People will then not be turning up at accident and emergency and they will have better health.
Okay. Well, listen,
that will radically change the pressures on our budgets.
I appreciate you taking time to speak to us, just because we have a number of callers and we're coming up to 10 o'clock, but I appreciate your time this morning. That's fair enough if you haven't seen that survey this morning in the Belfast Telegraph. You can listen to the rest of the programme, Fergal, and then go and get a paper, only after half past 10.